When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, the church at Corinth, if you know a little bit about it, initially they seemed to have many difficulties and they had a great need of help. And Paul was writing to try to help them, and he told them, give them some details about the experience of Israel in the wilderness. And he enumerated there a lot of the difficulties that they encountered and how they didn't react very well at times to their situation. And it says in that portion that these things are written for our admonition. And the word admonition there, when he was writing to Corinthians, means to lead before your mind. Something that you're going to lay hold of and maybe recall in days to come. And as he was encouraging them regarding their walk with the Lord, he said something that was extremely significant for them and is very important for you and I today to remember. He said, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. He was saying something that every Christian should store in their mind. And remember that each one of us, given a particular set of circumstances, are going to be vulnerable. You could say in Colossians, when Paul was writing there, that towards the end of that epistle, there was what may have been termed today a group photograph. And he mentioned various people who were of assistance to him and contributed to the work of God. And one of those people was Demas. And Demas, I have no doubt, made a substantial contribution to whatever part of the Lord's work that he was involved in. Probably he was with Paul when Paul was under house arrest. It's very probable as well that he would have been identified with the apostle time and time again. Whatever the situation was, and however they were received when they went with the gospel, Demas was one of the men who was there. Paul mentions him three times. In Philemon, he calls him his fellow laborer. And in Colossians, he simply calls him Demas. Maybe Paul had already sensed that everything wasn't well with Demas. That something had changed. And here in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, he tells us all, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It could be when Paul was writing to Colossians that Demas was merely hanging around, but his heart was now gone from the work that Paul was involved in. His story is a very sad one. There are church historians, Josephus being one of them, and others too, and they record incidents and things that happened that we don't have a lot of detail about in the Bible. And some of the church history would inform us that Demas, who forsook the work here, that eventually he became a priest in a heathen temple. How sad his story is. And whether that is exactly accurate or not, I cannot tell. But I can say this, that these words from the apostle to Timothy are a warning to us all. A warning of the danger of losing out. It says here that he loved this present world. That does not mean that he admired God's creation or he appreciated the material blessings that he had. Where it says he loved this present world, it refers to society without God. The system out there. And in leaving, he hurt Paul. He hurt the work. He would have grieved the Lord. And he hurt himself. This past 15 or 16 months have been challenging for everyone. Not least for Christians and those involved in the work. And now that we're getting back to some normality, here and there are one or two who are missing. And things have got on top of them. And I would not mention individuals, of course, or anything like that, but people have told me from various congregations and other assemblies that are not Free Presbyterian that some have gone. And I, this morning, want to encourage you, brethren, there's no work like the work of God. And whether you're preaching or part of the oversight or you're opening up the church or doing the weeding that apparently some of you were doing yesterday around the church and all of that, whatever part it is, there's no work like it. It's serving the Lord. And the Lord is no man's debtor, but him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And I want this morning for a while to look with you at the downward steps of demons. That is the title. The downward steps of demons. I want you to notice first of all that I believe Demas looked one of man's oldest problems. One of Christian man's oldest problems is looking upon the world's pleasure and seeming ease and apparent happiness and looking at it for too long. And what goes in at the eye gate, what we fix our gaze upon, affects our whole way of thinking and subsequently is lived out in our action. Now the looking really starts the ball rolling in what can be terrible consequences. If you look with me, please, over in the book of Joshua, in chapter 7, you know there that Israel had been doing quite well. Joshua had been a somewhat nervous leader, taking on the work after Moses, and who would blame him? But he'd been doing his best, and the Lord's hand was upon him. And Israel had been progressing. But one man's sin brought Israel to a standstill. You think of that. One man's sin brought the congregation of Israel to a halt. And his name was Achan. And now when the Lord has shown Joshua that something is wrong, that Israel has sinned, they can't stand before their enemies, there is no going forward until what is the problem is dealt with. And eventually Achan is found out. And there are great consequences for him and for his family. Very sad situation, but something that had to come about if Israel were to go forward again. And in verse 21, his words there show us the root problem of all that happened. He said, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and I took them." You see, he saw them. And he looked at them for too long. Whenever you look in the book of Genesis, in chapter 13, you have Abraham and Lot, his nephew, parting their ways. Now, if we only had the Old Testament regarding Lot, there would be very, very little, without sounding like a judgmental person, there would be very little to convince us that Lot was a Christian, but he was. The Bible, New Testament, talks about righteous Lot or just Lot. And how he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. But whenever Abraham was speaking to Lot there, you can look it up in your own time, in Genesis chapter 13, he was very kind and generous to him. And he indicated to Lot that we're going to separate now and you decide what you want. In verse 9 of chapter 13, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, and I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Now, there was nothing wrong with that. But it was the attitude in which he lifted them up. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. Now, you wouldn't need to read that verse twice to realize there's a degree of selfishness there. And it says that he lifted up his eyes and beheld it all. And we know the end of his experience in that area. How he got far too close to Sodom. Pitched his tent toward it. Then he sat in the gate of Sodom. He was involved far too deeply in life in Sodom. And what terrible consequences there were. Remember his wife. Looking back, became a pillar of salt. But remember his two sons-in-law. Whenever he told them that the Lord was going to pour out his wrath, going to punish Sodom and Gomorrah, he was as one that mocked. What an awful testimony. Sometimes when I think of that, I wonder, would things have been different if he said to Abraham, well, you've done so much for me, and you've more life experience than me. You make your decision where you want to go, and I would gladly take the other way. But it says here that he lifted up his eyes. Remember the situation there in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'll just read to you what it says. I'll read the one verse. Now therefore, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. When David should have been going forth and leading his men in war, unusually he was sitting at home. That was his first mistake. But when he sat there, he was looking around and he saw this Uriah the Hittite's wife, Bathsheba, having a bath or whatever on the rooftop. And that wasn't his fault, but he looked again. And that was sin. And that was his fault. And you see, brethren and sisters, whether it was Achan or Lot or David or Demas, the problem was in the looking. And that which did enter in at the eye gate, unguarded, undoubtedly affected the thinking. And as the Bible shows us, it led to the behavior and the consequences. Some of you, when you were younger, you may remember the little song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." Need to guard your eyes. Demas was involved in a great work with Paul. No reason to believe that he had not contributed in a great deal to the work there. But then he looked. He looked upon the system. He looked upon society without God. It's called the world here. And he loved it. But men and women, there can be prevention of this. Over in Proverbs chapter 4, It says in verse 20, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For this is the word of God, what the Bible teaches. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." And you will see if you study this passage of God's word in Proverbs chapter 4 that there's reference there to what you hear, to what you see, of course, to where you go. But the secret of it all is verse 23, where it says there, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Or if you have a margin Bible there, you will see that in the original language it means, "Keep thy heart above all keeping." In other words, be dead certain that you do this. Make sure of it. There's other things that you may be able to put off, but you need to keep your heart. And one of the problems with the heart is that it's greatly affected by what we look at. Maybe there's someone today and you're struggling with this. And the world seems not only big, seems to be doing all right. And so often I've mentioned it to the young people in our own congregation that you need to get your eyes off the world. Keep them on the Lord. And ask the Lord to guide you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Sometimes our own understanding, because it's finite and fickle and prone to be wrong, can tell us that the world's doing well. Don't be looking there. That was one of the steps. The first downward step of Demas. Demas looked. But I want you to notice secondly that Demas longed. You see, when you look at something long enough, and there's an attraction about it, again, your heart is affected. And when that happens to a Christian, there has to be a growing dissatisfaction with God's people, God's word, God's house, and God himself. And there's no doubt here that Demas had a hankering after the world's dainties, as they're referred to. And if you look again in Joshua 7 in your own time, you will see there that Achan, he said he coveted this. Not hiding anything. It's too late now, of course. As far as the punishment is concerned, and the cost is concerned to him and his family, but he coveted it. Bible again warns against this, just in Proverbs 5. Proverbs 5 there, and verse 3. And the analogy here is used of a strange woman, for an analogy for the world, the ways of the world. It says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." That's Proverbs 5, verse 3. If you look in chapter 7, you could say it's a continuation on. And verse 7 says, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." And if you read on down through there, you will see that before too long, this young man is drawn in and he's destroyed. Because there's looking and then there is longing. Again, if I can refer to David. First look wasn't his fault. Second look definitely was. And then he started to manipulate the situation and to set everything up in order that sometimes I find it hard to comprehend. One of David's best men was Uriah. And they put him in the front of the battle so that he would be killed. Men and women, sin doesn't know any limit. And we'd be wrong to think that it cannot destroy us or ruin our life. David was a man after God's own heart. And that is what he did. And it led to approximately a 1 year wilderness experience in his life when he broke many hearts, including his own. And things were never quite the same for him and his family ever again. Because he longed. And you see, the heart is deceitful and can trip us up. There's one individual who was a great encouragement to me when I was just saved and attending Dungannon Free Presbyterian Church, and wanted to be involved in doing whatever I could. Started driving the minibus and was asked to go on outreach, so I did that too. But there's one man came with me in particular way back then, and he was a great encouragement to me on a few occasions when we went out around the doors. I was used talking to people because I was a coal man, and then I went around the doors, and I did discover that talking about the gospel can get you a different reception than talking about how many bags of coal you want today. But he came with me. But folks, sometime later he looked at the world, and then he longed. And people didn't really know when he looked, but people began to notice when he longed. There wasn't the closeness to God's people. There wasn't the desire for the meetings that there used to be. And more he began to display, and this again is not being critical, it's just being factual. And I don't say it with any gladness today, but it happened that more and more there was the prodigal spirit about him, and he's long gone, long gone from serving the Lord. For Demas, the time came, and this again is not harsh, but it has to be the case. For Demas, the time came when his Christian responsibilities and his duties, they were in the way. They were a stumbling block to him enjoying himself and embracing all that the world system had to offer. I want to ask you a very solemn question. Did you ever feel that way, that Christian things were in the way? That they were holding you back from what you felt would be better for you? Well, Demas, he looked. And Demas, he longed. And I hope today that that's not where you find yourself. But if it is, please listen on, because I believe also that Demas listened. God calls you and I to follow after him. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But we're not naive enough this morning to think that there are not other voices. Other voices that are calling us to conform. We're taught in the Word of God, there be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Being conformed means to be molded. A young person, make no mistake, that's what the world wants to do with you. A lot of time for young people, as some of you know, I have 7 sons of my own, and I'm the oldest of a family of 8, so I know what it's like to be around young people. But I know the dangers. And the world wants to mould you into its way of living. And conforming to the world system will kill my effectiveness for God or your effectiveness for him. Again, there's a person that doesn't live in this country, but that I got to know years ago and quite friendly with. And in my opinion, a very good person and a very able servant of the Lord. And a few months ago, I knew how things had gone, and a few months ago, someone with tears in their eyes and in their heart shared with me a photograph of that same individual. Sitting there with a big glass about that high full of liquor in front of them. Involving themselves in everything that the world system had to offer. Sometimes it's hard to understand. But like Demas, they had looked, they had longed, and they had listened to those voices that are crying out, come with us. Christian, young Christian, how often have you heard that? Come along with us. Remember years ago, there were two young women who were Christians talking to two fellas who one of them was saved and the other one wasn't. And when the unsaved fellow was talking about the clubs and the social life and so on, one of the young Christian women said, you know, we haven't lived. Both brought up in Christian homes. Both were converted, I firmly believe. And that young person went on then to regret ever involving herself in that which she felt she was moving out, losing out with. You see, she listened to the voice that was calling. And during these difficult times in the province, people are, they're looking for happiness and for gladness, and there's nothing wrong with that in itself, but make sure we don't go to the wrong place. Make sure we don't go to the wrong place. Over there, if again I can look in Proverbs chapter 7, and there's verse 21. It says there, again it's a picture of the world, with her much first speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. I wonder, is there someone here, or maybe listening somewhere else, and you're listening. Oh, there's a voice of concern at home with loved ones and with people here, the elders maybe in the church and others. They love you in the Lord and love you as a person. But there's other voices. There's other voices. One day, there's a friend of mine, and he's going on well with the Lord now, and doing what he can to serve the Lord. And he become like demons. He become unsettled and discontent, and thought the world was yet far more thanks, not right. And he looked and he longed and he listened. And he made shipwreck. And then he got fed up with it all. And he came to a minister that he knew, and he explained how he had come to the end of himself. Now, he didn't want to live like this any longer. He just couldn't go on the way that he was going. And the minister said to him very wisely, he said, that is good, glad to hear that, but nothing will change until you put your heart right with God. And I would say to you today, if you have looked and longed and listened, people still love you, the Lord still loves you. And the voices that you may have listened to and yielded to, they will ultimately bring unhappiness and dissatisfaction. Thinking just now of two individuals that I know really well. Nice people. And if you were talking to them here today, both of them could look back to that time when they were involved in doing what they could for the Lord. And then both of them got involved in businesses and did really well. And if they were standing here in the pulpit today beside me, I were to ask them, did your prosperity in business help you as a Christian? Both of them, I firmly believe, would say, no, it took me away from the Lord. They're honest men, I'll tell you the truth. They've told it to others. The business had gone well, but beyond the business, they got completely consumed in what was associated with the world system, and they could trace it back to that time when business went well. Before that, doing what they could for the Lord, content among God's people, loved to come along to God's house, but they listened. So Demas, he looked, he longed, he listened, but he left. For Paul here says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's no mention of him again. And how much better it would have been for him just to stay close to the Lord, to enjoy his presence and his blessing, to know his direction in all the big decisions in life and in all the wee ones. And when we make mistakes, to know his help in getting up again and getting on with it and continuing to go on in his work. But Demas left. Surely his story is one of the saddest regarding believers in the New Testament. Can I finish by sharing with you what it says over there in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Here's what happened to believers. And surely here's what happened to Demas. And here's what can happen to me or you. Verse 20 of Ezekiel chapter 36. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. The word profaned there is very interesting. The word profaned means, it's derived from a word meaning outside the temple. In other words, when they went under the heathen, they were involved. They brought my name into that and those places that were outside my temple, that were not in keeping with respecting and reverencing the Lord. You know, the Lord is merciful, good. It says in verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. The word sanctified there simply means set apart in you, and it's before their eyes. If you look here, you will see that the Lord is really saying, you will wear my name like a garment, because that's really what it's referring to. Wearing God's name like a garment. You may not be able to preach. A lot of things that we can't do. But every one of us can wear his name like a garment. And I do trust today that as we considered here the downward steps of Demas, he was a good man, useful, encouraging, helpful to others. And then he looked and he longed and he listened and he left. And that was the end of him. I trust you and I from this day forward will endeavor to wear God's name like a garment. The world needs to see him. And I know that sometimes we feel that it's unfair and it's not fair to judge in the way that the world does. But the world system that we've mentioned to you a few times today, it judges Christianity not so much by what I say, but by what it sees, whether we like it or not. Judges Christianity by what it sees. May we learn from the downward steps of Demas, and may the Lord keep us all close to himself. We're going to sing a hymn in closing.